What's up, guys? This is Rich, Flagship Podcast. I just want to let you know that we had another subscriber-exclusive flagship that just dropped earlier today over at flagshippatreon.com, exclusive to our $10 tier at flagshippatreon.com. On this episode, we talked about WWE blacking out local airings of WrestleMania 42, a new report from Fightful. We looked at year-over-year ticket movement for WrestleMania compared to WrestleMania 42, compared to WrestleMania 41 last year. We talked about the life and career of Tadao Yasuda, who we found out passed away earlier today. There's a little clip at the end of this of our discussion about Yasuda. We obviously went a little deeper on the full flagship. We also have a review of MLW Battle Riot, the most recent Battle Riot. We also talk about our potential issues covering MLW moving forward, depending on how they're going to tape their shows. So we get into that a little bit. We also, we bullshitted. It's the flagship. Of course, there's going to be banter. We talked about why Tuesday is potentially the worst day of the week. We talked about if Seinfeld holds up, it does, and a bunch of other assorted crap for the normal banter section that you guys either love or either hate. But again, a new subscriber-exclusive episode of the flagship is available right now at flagshippatreon.com. $10 tier for both the live replay if you want to listen on YouTube, as well as the audio replay, which is available, again, exclusively on the $10 tier at flagshippatreon.com. So again, here's a little clip of our discussion about the life and career of Tadao Yasuda with a little bit of big-picture thoughts about Enochism and the history of Enochism. And if you like what you hear, make sure you go and upgrade to the $10 tier flagshippatreon.com to unlock the bonus subscriber-exclusive flagship episodes, as well as everything else we do at flagshippatreon.com. So enjoy this preview, and talk to you again soon. Let's get to these topics. Plenty of stuff to cover here. We got WrestleMania 42 ticket sales. We'll talk about that here in a second. We have MLW's Battle Riot. MLW Battle Riot was a tape delay aired last Thursday on YouTube, and we have some thoughts about that show, as well as what's going on in the future of MLW, the future of our coverage of MLW with the return of MLW Fusion and a potential change on how MLW shows are seen. But we'll start this show with the news that came out this morning that Tadao Yasuda, former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, passed away. I guess IWGP World Champion before we... Or maybe IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
IWGP Champion,
yeah,
no
just,
world.
Yeah, just heavyweight. I think it was IWGP Heavyweight Champion before we added the world part to it. Passed away. He was 62 years old. And I don't have a ton to say about him, but I thought we'd at least, you know, he's a former IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He's worth at least discussing a little bit here. But do you have any strong thoughts about Yasuda as somebody who probably watched? I went and watched a bunch of his matches earlier, and I'm aware of his history. I just don't have that much to say because I didn't really like his wrestling at all. And he came during a very, you know, weird period of New Japan Pro Wrestling, obviously with Enochism and Enoki just losing his mind and being so obsessed with MMA. And him being one of the beneficiaries of that and then rising to the top of the company as a result of that. But, I don't know. Did you have any super strong thoughts? And then we can kind of...
Yeah, I could talk about his career, yeah. I mean, Tadao Yasuda was a sumo, and he really wasn't pushed at all for many years in New Japan. He came in as a sumo and at that time, and even today, really, when you come in as a name sumo, you kind of have a leg up coming into pro wrestling because you kind of have built-in fame in Japan from that, but he wasn't one of those guys who came in with the mega push. And
it's actually what's interesting about him and how he differs from like Koji Katao and guys like that is that he actually did like the Young Lion thing. Like they shaved his head and he started off as like a middle of the card, like lower card guy, which is interesting because a lot of guys who came in through the sumo ranks, they kind of got pushed right away and were put into a pretty prominent spot. But he actually built himself up like kind of the traditional way, even though he did have a name and people knew the name.
So the thing about it was he wasn't very good at all, and he didn't have any charisma, and his career was going absolutely nowhere. He was just a guy working six-man tags underneath for many years. Look, it's always tricky when we do one of these obits and the guy wasn't any good because it doesn't mean anything. The guy lived a life, and he passed away, and you know, who cares – whether he was great or not at one job that he had or you know, just because he had one boss who overpushed him at one point doesn't invalidate the man's life. But we are a wrestling podcast, and we are here to talk about his wrestling career. And he just wasn't a very good wrestler. He was one of the most critically panned wrestlers of his era once he got the push. Now, when he was an undercard guy, no one really even cared about him. But as Rich laid out, Enochism happened. MMA happened, and Antonio Inoki went batshit insane. And while you can kind of understand his mindset with the benefit of hindsight of thinking, oh shit, there's this new form of entertainment that's adjacent to ours that people really like, and it's exploding, and it's going to expose what we do as phony and fake, and we're going to die. And we need to do something about this. So Inoki's idea was that if he can prove that pro wrestlers were just as tough or tougher than these real fighters, then pro wrestling can prove itself as the most dominant martial art. Like, that was, in a nutshell, the mindset. Which, if that sounds crazy and batshit insane, it's because it is.
Because it was, yeah.
Okay. And we now know that you have to give the public more credit. Everyone knows what they're watching when they watch pro wrestling. We all know the deal. You know, kayfabe was long since dead. Kayfabe died in the 1800s, let alone in 2002. I mean, you know, we knew. But at the same time, to give Inoki some benefit of the doubt, I could understand the mindset of this is going to destroy us, right? So his idea for those, you know, and this is just a quick fucking, this is the Cliff Notes version of Inokiism. But the idea was, if I can put my pro wrestlers in shoots with these guys and they can win, and then the public will respect us and they'll still see pro wrestling as number one. Well, that backfired massively because he'd put people like Yuji Nagata, for instance, who was going to be the next great star in New Japan, and he'd get fucking murked by Mirko Krokop, and it would be an utter embarrassment, you know? So, and this, of course, is when all of this is happening. This is when we always talk about Satoshi Kojima said, nope, I'm noping out of this. I'm following Muto to All Japan, and I want nothing to do with it.
Right, the hell you're going to put me in an MMA fight? Fuck off, man.
I see where this is going. And Kojima had an incredible run in All Japan. And then a few years later, when Inoki, when shoot style was starting to die and Inoki was proven wrong, and it almost ended up trying to prevent the death of New Japan in pro wrestling, almost caused it by this road that Inoki took. Then they were begging Kojima to come back and work that program with Tenzan and save the place. So he ended up being a big winner out of all of that. But I'm drifting off course. The point is, Yasuda was one of the guys who Inoki was banking on to kind of spearhead this new vision of pro wrestling, you know, with Ironhead Fujita and some of these other dudes. And he put him in shoot fights. Now, by then, this guy's already in his late 30s. And he's already like a washed up pro wrestler, and he wasn't a good MMA fighter at all. I think he won his debut, but then he lost most of his fights. But the key fight was against Jerome LeBanner.
Yeah.
And it was he beat him in what was a massive, massive upset. And he beat him by basically just running his forearm across the guy's throat. I mean, the match is out there if people want to watch it. So whenever one of these pro wrestlers, now that changed the course of his career, because then Inoki said, all right, well, this is a guy I can push because he beat like a well-known and MMA guy, a well-known legitimate fighter who people know is the real deal. And that's why he got his very brief IWGP title reign, because of that upset over Jerome LeBanner. And then they built the Makai Club around Yasuda as the leader. What the Makai Club was, the whole basis of the gimmick was basically shoot fighters who worshipped Antonio Inoki.
As a god. And by worship, we mean, like, quite literally, we believe Antonio Inoki is more than a human. He is actually a deity. Is
right.
That we're not, and not in like in no uncertain terms, that is, cover your ears, Pastor Josh. But yes, they thought that Antonio Inoki was literally a god.
Yeah, and they would feud with like the pro wrestlers in New Japan, you know, and they would wear masks. And but the gimmick where you'd wear a mask, but everyone knew who it was. Like, it wasn't, they weren't, you know, like kind of the wink, wink thing. But Yasuda was the leader of that and got a little more mileage. The point is, he was a washed up pro wrestler who happened to have a sumo background, and then Inoki sent him to get some martial arts training. And it was basically just thrown to the wolves in these fights. And he happened to win one. And that ended up getting him the biggest push of his career. And the fact is, and again, it's, you know, the man died, and we're just talking about his career. If he never has that, you know, 30-day IWGP title, we might not even be talking about him.
right?
You know, today it's just because he was not a good pro wrestler. I mean, there and you know, there's always revisionism on Inokiism. I think what happens is when younger people and newer fans finally discover shoot style and they discover Inokiism, it looks cool to them because it looks so much different than everything we're seeing today. In fact, it has a lot of the, you know, it looks like a lot of how we talk of what we wish there was more of in wrestling.
Yeah.
Just big, tough guys doing big, tough guy things. And because of that dichotomy to a lot of what we see in modern pro wrestling, I think it comes across so different. It hits people and they go, whoa, this is like really cool. But what they're missing is that in real time, everyone was kind of like, oh, this sucks. Like, there was no need for shoot style. There was no need for Inokiism when we had real MMA on the come up. Like, I watched all those Boumaier New Year's Eve shows. I loved Pride. I loved early UFC and I loved MMA at that time. And what New Japan was doing to me and to a lot of other people was just a total affront to that. It was like, why do I want to watch these worked fights that look bad? They don't look good.
Right.
I could just watch real fights.
Yeah, exactly. They were like worse real fights and worse pro wrestling matches smashed together. And it was like the worst of both worlds. Right. You know what I mean? It was like,
right.
Yeah, but you'll see little clips. Yeah, if you watch a clip online or you watch an entrance, you'll say, oh, wow, look at that. You know,
highly edited clips.
Yeah, it's intoxicating. I get it. It's a big, strong guy and he's got a mouth guard in and he's spitting and snarling. And another guy comes out and he's got a mouth guard in. And you're like, yeah, and then they're judo throwing each other and they're stiffing each other and you're like, all right, yeah, let's go. But yeah, it's missing all of the context of what was really going on. And the other thing too is Yasuda is the great example of it. Guys were just getting pushed out of nowhere and winning titles out of nowhere because they were winning MMA fights. Like Kendo Kashin's another great example too. He wins an MMA fight because I forget what Gracie he was facing. He was facing a Gracie, and that Gracie blew his knee out in the match, and Kendo Kashin got the win. But that was enough for Inoki to say, "All right, here we go. Kendo Kashin's now our top junior because he won an MMA fight." And it was all just so weird at that time. And it was just, yeah, like you said, the worst of both. It was worse looking real fighting and worse looking pro wrestling and more boring and more kind of clunky pro wrestling with guys that didn't have charisma.
And when you have the real thing going on at the same time, it's so high profile. It's easy to see how worked that the other stuff was and whether all of these promotions. And we talk about this Hall of Fame season all the time. They all died a relatively quick death. You know, it was UWFI or any of these promotions. You want to just shoot style promotions because there just was not enough appeal when people who like that could just see the real thing so easily, you know, and Inoki went all in on it. And that's where the term Inokiism comes from. And him attempting to save pro wrestling from, you know, mixed martial arts ultimately almost ended up killing New Japan and pro wrestling.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.